Greetings. This is Clarence Baylor III of Shore Community Bible Fellowship. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today, I will be sharing the message from John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44. Today's message is part of the sermon series, The Seven I Am Statements of Jesus. If you would like to hear other messages in this sermon series, please go to our website at shorecommunitybible.org. Click the worship tab and you should find what you need. Again, the message coming today from John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44. Before the message, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, great loving God, we give you honor and praise. Forgive us for not loving you as you deserve. Forgive us for not honoring your holy name and giving you all respect. We do thank you for your grace and your mercy that you give us each day. Today, we are calling upon your grace once again to hear truth in your holy word, not only to hear the truth, but to apply it to our lives. I pray you give me the ability to communicate your word clearly and pray that you give the listener the focus to hear and receive your truth. In all things, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at the scripture on today, I pray that we will know and understand that Jesus is not only the source of life, but also has the power over death. We should believe in Jesus, despite of how discouraging any situation looks. Believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. The resurrection is not just an event or a day. The resurrection is a person. As we see here in the scripture, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection. I am the life." Looking back at John chapter 10, Jesus was having a conversation with the Pharisees. In the latter part of John chapter 10, there was another I am statement that was made. Jesus, when talking to the Pharisees, said, "I am the good shepherd." Now in John chapter 11, verse 1, it says that now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sister sent to him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." Now, Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They had a relationship. They had visited together before. When they were in trouble, they knew who to call upon Jesus. There was some type of hope because Lazarus' illness, despite his sickness, they knew where Jesus was. They called him. They sent someone for him. There's a big difference when we have hope in Jesus. Hope in Jesus will allow you to have a different perspective than most people. The fact that Mary and Martha sent someone to tell Jesus that Lazarus was sick lets me know that they had hope. That provides a great example for all of us that we go through some type of trial, some type of trouble, a sickness or disease, we can have hope in Jesus. If you look at what the scripture says in verse 4, it says that when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Notice what Jesus is saying here. He is saying that sometimes our circumstances, our illnesses, or having to experience hard things in life, and such as losing a loved one, sometimes these situations are to show the glory of God. It is for his purposes. From the very beginning, Jesus knew that it was for his purposes, but they had to experience the grief. Lazarus had to experience that death at that time so that God could get the glory. Going further, looking at verse 5 through 7, it says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, 'Let us go to Judea.' When he got the news, it says that he stayed 2 more days. Now, this is important because in the Jewish culture, some believe that the person's spirit who had died will hover near the body for about 3 days and have the possibility of re-entering the body. But after 3 days, those who believe this would consider it no more chance for an actual revival of life. Jesus' decision to stay 2 more days is important because he wanted to make sure that he was about to do next would be no other explanation than God getting the glory. Let me explain further. If you look at the distance between Bethany and where Jesus was, it was about a day's trip. So if you look at the time that he got the news, someone had to take time to travel there and then travel back. Jesus waited 2 days. If you add all of that time up, that would be the equivalent of about 4 days. So Jesus was very strategic, because when he got to Bethany, anyone who had believed that Lazarus' body could have been resurrected by their false belief, this superstition of the 3-day grace period of sorts, would have lost all hope, because at least 4 days would have passed. So any type of resurrection by Lazarus' body would have blown them away. There was another issue at hand because of where they were going. This place called Bethany. It was only about 2 miles from Jerusalem. This is important to take into account, because if you read back in John chapter 10, it said that the Pharisees and the chief rulers, they were upset. So upset that they tried to kill Jesus. He was going right back to the same area, about 2 miles from Jerusalem. There will be no doubt that these people who were trying to arrest Jesus, to ultimately kill him, would hear where he was and come there to take care of him. In verse 8 through 11 of John chapter 11, it says that the disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you are going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of the world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." These things he said, and after that he said to them, "My friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." In other words, for the light to shine, for my Father's name to be glorified. There will be a time when there will be darkness, but this is not it. We have something to take care of. We have a matter at hand. Lazarus sleeps, but they didn't understand that. As evidence of them not understanding, in verse 12, we see that the disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." They just thought, okay, he's sleeping, so why are we going to bother him? Because when someone is sick, who is ill, the first thing we say, let them get some rest. We try to leave them alone, not to bother them. But then in verse 13, we're told that Jesus was saying that Lazarus is sleeping. He was speaking of his death. In verse 14, Jesus said plainly, "Lazarus is dead." In verse 15, Jesus continues to talk to them and says, "And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Basically saying here, "I'm glad that you are coming along, because there's still some things I need to work out in your faith also." Even though they have walked with him, even though they have seen miracles of him healing people of blindness and doing other things, there were still some things he wanted them to see so that they could grow in their faith. Then Thomas, one of the disciples, said, "Let us also go that we may die with him," referring to Jesus. "Well, this may not be a good outcome for us, but if you are saying we should go, we should go." In John chapter 11, verse 17, it says, "When Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them and concerning their brother." Then in verse 20 through 21, "Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If you had been here, my brother would not have died.'" Again, this hope in Jesus and knowing that he has all power. Martha continued, "But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you this." This is showing her faith in God. In verse 23, "But then Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' So she said, 'I know that he will rise again in the last days.'" She missed the point. She had missed the miracle that Jesus was talking about. It is easy to shake our heads at Martha. But if you think about it, we have all been there. We look at what we think is the reality of the situation in life and can't see it playing out no other way. In other ways, we close our minds off to the possibility of seeing miracles. Jesus was saying he will rise again soon. In other words, I will resurrect him. And Jesus had all power, because Jesus said in verse 25 and 26, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Then Jesus asked Martha, "Do you believe this?" Do you believe that I am who I say I am? Therefore, that I have the power to do what I say I will do? This is key here, because Martha says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ and the Son of God who is to come and is who has come into the world. I am the resurrection and the life. We must understand this important truth. To understand, we have to go back to the beginning in Genesis, when sin entered the world, when Adam and Eve disobeyed and ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. At this moment, when they believed what Satan said rather than believing what God said, they lost their fellowship with God, their oneness with him. This oneness that was full of joy, sweet fellowship, and life. Now, due to sin, the curse of death had entered the world. Before the fall, there was no death. Here Jesus is saying, I am the resurrection and the life. This is a reversal of the curse of death, of that punishment because of the fall of mankind written in the book of Genesis. In other words, through Adam, we all die, but through Christ, we shall be made alive. And that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it reiterates this reversal of this curse. It says that Jesus came to bear our sins in his body on the tree, that we might live in righteousness in order for us to be right again. Also in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, where it says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through our disobedience by our first father, Adam, and through the obedience of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, we do not have to fear eternal death, even though we will experience physical death because of our fleshy natures, which will have to endure physical death unless Jesus comes back before this. Regardless, we have access to eternal life where our spirit will live on because of Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life because of his own resurrection from the dead, letting us know that he has all the power over death. And in verse 26, it says, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Now, everything again is subject under the curse of sin, will fall and die. Now, talking about the idea of resurrection, it is not a new idea. It is referenced all throughout the Bible and the Old and the New Testaments. In the Old Testament in particular, in the book of Job, one of the earliest recorded books in scripture, it says in Job chapter 19, verse 25, it says that I know that my Redeemer lives and he shall stand at last on the earth. It signified that Job believed in the resurrection from the grave. Or David in Psalm 16, verse 8 through 11, they spoke of the resurrection. And Isaiah, the prophet, in Isaiah chapter 25, verses 8, which speaks of the resurrection when he says he will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, where it says, many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Talking about the resurrection. Also in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 17 through 22, where there's an account of the widow's son who was raised from the dead. And his resurrection of her son gave additional credibility to Elijah as he visited. Also, in the New Testament in the Bible, we have evidence of those who believed in the resurrection, as well as actual evidence of those who were resurrected. We have Jairus' daughter, who was raised from the dead in Matthew chapter 9, or the widow's only son in Luke chapter 7, or in Acts chapter 9, where Dorcas was raised from the dead. Now, if you get talking to the people about the resurrection, especially about the resurrection of Jesus, you're going to definitely hear some pushback from time to time. You may get some questions, some suggesting their own ideas and theories. But overall, you're going to hear a lot of lies. I do want to just discuss particularly a couple of those theories that you may hear that objects the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In order to help us to be reassured in what the scripture says, and so that we can hold fast unto our convictions, but overall so that we can be equipped to defend our faith for those of us who believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. One theory that tries to discredit or disprove the resurrection is something called the swoon theory. So it says that Jesus was not really dead, but was swooned. In other words, basically in an unconscious state. In the swoon there, it is suggested that Jesus was never totally dead, but that Jesus was later revived in the tomb because of the damp, cool environment in which his body was laid in. Now, Christians, here are some issues with this swoon theory. One, it's not biblical. And then two, it's not practical. So as far as it not being biblical, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 27, verse 50, it says that when he was on the cross, that he yielded his spirit. In other words, he died. Jesus died. And then later on in Matthew chapter 27, verses 64, it says the Pharisees wanted the tomb sealed because they didn't want the disciples to come by night and steal him away. And the people to say that he had risen from the dead. The Pharisees even recognized and acknowledged that he was dead. Then from a practical view, that the swoon theory, that he was only unconscious and then later revived in the tomb, does not make sense. Think about the horrors and the pain that was inflicted upon Jesus on that cross, and even what he had to go through when having his wrists and his feet being nailed to the cross. The life-threatening beating that he endured before. Even the soldiers who started to break his legs, they realized there was no need because he was already dead. Understand clearly that these soldiers were not his friends. They were his enemies. They had no reason not to break his legs anyway. It's out of the pure hatred that they had for him. Their job was to ensure that the person on the cross was executed, was dead. These trained Roman soldiers ruled that he was dead, and there was no reason, no need to break his legs. And then from another practical point, if this swoon theory was indeed true, even if Jesus was in an unconscious state, how could he get up and push away the stone, which was sealed, and then still get by the guards that were stationed there? Another theory that I want to address that objects to resurrection, this popular theory that the body was stolen. Either the body was stolen by his friends, the disciples, or stolen by his enemies. Let's deal with the objection. If it was stolen by his disciples, it would make no sense. History tells us that many of the disciples, they died as martyrs, meaning they died still proclaiming the truth that Jesus was the Christ and that he rose from the dead. Now, if he was dead, why would they die? Why didn't they just admit to the lie and save themselves? Think about it for a moment. If you're caught into a lie and the punishment for this lie is death, wouldn't you tell the truth because you would not want to face the punishment of death? These individuals, these disciples, these ones who were faithful went to their death still proclaiming that he had risen. In other words, they were willing to die because they knew the truth and they could not deny the truth because the truth was so powerful. And then what about his enemies? This theory that his enemies stole the body. Well, how did they get by the guards? Well, they could have just made the deal. After all, they were all on the same side. There could have been some money exchange. But what did they have to gain from stealing the body? If anything, they would have had so much more to lose because it would basically make it more credible and believable that the resurrection did occur because the tomb would have been empty if they took the body out. Then when the rumors start to spread that Jesus is alive, the tomb is empty, then they would have to even more motivation to present the dead body. But they didn't because they couldn't. Again, any objection to the resurrection is not practical. The most important thing is not biblical. What matters is what the Bible says, period. The fact of the matter is that Jesus died, Jesus was buried, Jesus rose. There are no ifs, ands, and buts about it. In the Bible, it is written that there were eyewitnesses that Jesus was on the earth for 40 days after his resurrection before going into heaven to be at the right hand of the Father. Some of these eyewitnesses' accounts include when he appeared to Mary Magdalene and the other woman. In accounts of scripture, such as even in the book of Peter or in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul recalls that he encountered Jesus, the two on Emmaus Road, the 10 disciples, the first time because Judas was dead and Thomas wasn't there. And then later, 8 days later, the 11 disciples, when Thomas was there and he had evidence shown to him. And then there was an account in John where Jesus met with the 7 disciples. Let's not forget that it was recorded that over 500 people saw him at one time. Now, you can't discount the eyewitnesses' accounts of 500 people. Now, there is so much evidence that proves that the resurrection did occur. But ultimately, it hinges on what verse 26 says. Going back to John chapter 11, in verse 26, there's one question. Jesus asked Martha this question, and that question is for us also. Do you believe this? And she said, yes, Lord. That question for all of us, and our answer should be yes. Verse 27, she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And she had said these things. She went away and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as Mary heard that, anxious to see Jesus, she arose quickly and came to where Jesus was. Now, Jesus had not yet come into town, but he was still in the place where he had met Martha. Then the Jews who were with her in the house, who were comforting her, when they saw that she had got up quickly and went out, they followed her, saying, she's going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary saw Jesus, then she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. That sounds familiar, right? He said the exact same thing that Martha said, but there's a difference here. Mary said the same thing, but don't miss what happened in verse 32. Before she said that, it said that she came, she saw him, she fell down at his feet. She came with a worshiping posture. Even in her grief, she still recognized who he was and who he is and the power that he has. There's a lesson we can all learn from this in the reverence that Mary has for Jesus. It teaches that regardless of what we're going through, regardless of the discomfort, the grief, the heartache, our worship should be the same. We should have a high reverence for Jesus because regardless of what we're going through, who he is does not change. Also, know that Jesus cares for all of us. He has not forgotten about you. We see this in the text. As Jesus saw Mary weeping, he groaned in his spirit. And in verse 35, this is the shortest scripture in the Bible. Jesus wept. In verse 36, those Jews looking on said, see how he loved them, referring to Lazarus. Jesus has compassion for us all. He groaned in the spirit because of what mankind was subject to now, death. But through Jesus being the resurrection and the life, we can have life, more specifically eternal life, fellowship with God the Father. In verse 37, some said, could this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb and he said, roll the stone away. And then here Martha. Martha, it's been 4 days. He's dead. It's got to be a stench. This is the same Martha who said that she recognized him as the Son of God, as the Messiah. Still, the flesh is getting in her way. It's giving her doubt. We have been there also. Believe, but also doubting at the same time. Just like what Jesus says to her in verse 40. Did I not say to you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And then Jesus lifts up his eyes to the Father and says, thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Remember, all of this is for God to get the glory, so that they would believe that Jesus was sent by the Father. And this was because he knew that they had to believe in who he was in order for them to have life themselves. Like them, we have and now must believe that Jesus is the Son of God and Savior of the entire world of their sins. In verse 43 and 44, it says, so now when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with cloth. Jesus said to them, loosen and let him go. The one that he had been dead for 4 days, Jesus caused to rise from the dead by calling upon the Father who has all power. And that should give us hope, because not only did Jesus have power to raise others, but the fact that he himself rose from the dead. And this is an encouragement and also a challenge that we should be bold in telling people and being confident and talking about the resurrection. Also, I want to issue a warning for the unsaved. This issue of the resurrection, this is the most important issue that you would ever have to decide when it comes to regarding the gospel. It hinges on the resurrection. People don't have a problem with Jesus being a great man and who performed miracles. They don't have a problem with Jesus going to the cross and being crucified. But they do have an issue with Jesus rising from the dead. The resurrection did occur. And because it did, know that our faith is not in vain. We have to keep the resurrection the subject of our lives, and not just on Easter, but always being confident in the resurrection and having hope. Even when we see physical death all around us, but stay in the truth that this is not it. Because based on who Jesus is and who he said he is and who he has proven to be, the resurrection and the life. Let us not forget that John chapter 11, verse 26 says, "Whoever believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Believing in Jesus, who resurrected from the dead, is so important. Again, because since the fall of man and when sin entered the world, we are all guilty and must suffer that penalty of sin. Just as we see here in the text that Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Jesus just didn't love them. He loves us too. Loved us to the point of obedience on the cross, the point of having to face death on the cross, and then to rise again on the third day to prove that he is the resurrection and the life. So again, the question, do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus has come to reverse the curse of death and to give us a free gift of life? Know that you will surely die. Our earthly bodies will, unless Jesus returns first. But know that our spirit lives on for all of eternity. But where your spirit would spend eternity, either in heaven or in hell, is based on your answer to this question. A yes or a no. Will we say no and not believe that Jesus is Lord and has power over death? Or will you answer to that question? Yes. Yes, I believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and believe that he went to the cross and paid that debt of our sin. And not stayed dead, but rose again. Those of us who have made that yes decision, keep the faith. Stay obedient to the word of God. Others of us who need to confess of our sin and repent of those sins, do so right now. This may be your only opportunity to believe and accept the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Do you believe? Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for sending your son Jesus down to the cross for us, but not to stay dead, but to rise again. Thank you for just your overwhelming evidence in scripture that he did rise. And thank you for the hope that fills our hearts. Continue to strengthen our faith. Continue to help us be bold in sharing our faith. Help those who are unsure, who may feel like the rising of the dead is just so impossible. But Lord, soften their hearts through the truth that only your Holy Spirit can do. Thank you for the opportunity to learn more about your son, Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. I pray that all things that were said is pleasing to you on this day. In Jesus' name, amen. This is Clarence Baylor III, church planter of Shore Community Bible Fellowship. Thank you for listening to this message. If you have any questions, if you have a prayer request, or have decided to make Jesus Lord of your life, we would like to hear from you. Please call us at 757-710-6843. Again, 757-710-6843, or visit our website at shorecommunitybible.org. Also, I invite you to join us at 11:15 on Sunday mornings or at 6 p.m. on Wednesdays in the Outreach Center of Exmoor Baptist Church, located on the corner of Akahana and Main in Exmoor, Virginia. At Shore Community Bible Fellowship, we desire to see everyone worship God, grow in his word, serve others, and plant churches. May God's peace and blessings be upon you and your family.